Morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Bethesda Lutheran Church here on the fifth Sunday in Lent. So glad you're all with us. And there's a lot of all of you with us this morning. I'm really glad to see not just all the young folks and all the winter travelers that are coming back and everybody else. I'm just glad that you're all here with us on this otherwise gloomy morning. But we're nice and happy in here and doing pretty good, I think. I'm still a little sick, as you might be able to hear in my voice. I know Sue said she's going to help out with a couple of the prayers in case my voice would fail me otherwise. And I think Anna agreed to preach the sermon. Was that right? No? Oh, okay. Okay, well, I know I actually really like Val's April Fool's joke where we just drew for people to preach the sermon. We could get that big spinning thing again, and you know, that makes sense because the berries always get drawn anyway, so we could draw them from I think you've had a month off, so you can start putting it in again, I think. But no, that's fine. We're happy to have you guys enter into that. But anyway, yeah, this is a busy time of year as we're getting ever closer to Easter. It's coming up in just a couple weeks. You also notice, of course, on our calendar, the long-awaited women's spring gathering is this week on Thursday. So for those women that would like to be part of that, that'll be taking up our morning on Thursday. And so the Romeos will have to, I guess, just go to breakfast unless they want to hang out with all these ladies. I don't know, maybe, but I think we already talked about them kind of taking the day off. But yeah, and of course, we also have our ongoing Lenten midweek series, and I'm actually back this week. So I get to close off the Lenten midweek for you guys here on Wednesday evening. And then, of course, there's the potluck meal at 5:30. And of course, Easter, you also notice, not only do we have our centennial jam for sale, which is a very tasty thing. Easter lilies sales are also going on today. So if you want to help beautify our sanctuary and get a little something to take home, please keep in mind those Easter lilies that we put them in that, was it the cross, the big cross display thing, right? Yeah. Or is that just for poinsettias? I can't remember. My brain's a little clouded right now. But anyway, you also notice, too, there's a very amazingly lovely piece of Hardanger out there as well, so that'll be part of the drawing for this upcoming month. So please keep that in mind as well as we have these ongoing little fundraisers for our centennial. And another good thing to keep in mind as we're approaching Holy Week, we will have a morning Good Friday service here, but you're also welcome, either in addition or instead of, there will be the Lenten Cantata down an aisle that I know a number of us went to last year, and I think participated in, and I think some of our singers are singing in that again this year. I know I was talked to read, which I know sounds kind of funny at this point, but I'll be one of the narrators there, assuming my voice holds up. But yeah, that's really a great worship service that they put on between the various churches in our area down an aisle. So please keep that on your calendars as well. Is there anything else we need to mention at this time? All right. Yes. Yes, we're very happy to have you here, and you're on the mend again. Yeah, and getting very familiar with Aiken once again. Yeah, if you ever want to bump into George and Patty, just hang out at the Beanery up in Aiken, and you're bound to share a coffee with them, you know. So we're also keeping in our prayers Ted, who I believe is home now. Is he out there? Oh, okay. Ted, who was in the hospital a little bit this week, and also Ron Haas, who was down in the hospital in Onamia after a fall. So I went to visit him sort of briefly on Thursday. He was a little sleepy, but I was able to give him communion and chat with him for a few minutes. But But yeah, prayers for Ron Haas as well.
He's been moved to Malacca.
Oh, he has moved to Malacca. Okay, good. Oh, that's great. Okay. So, all right. Oh, yes. I know a lot of the men learn the music by just standing next to Randy. So, so yeah, you can, yeah. So, it's a good. We have a lot of fun too. So, and never any arguments. Yeah, no, a lot of fun. Yeah. All right. Well, if there's nothing else at this time, our opening hymn is hymn 686. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who gathers us in the wilderness to redeem us, anoint us, and make us new. Amen. In these 40 days, let us be honest, confess our sin, and receive God's promise of mercy. God at the margins, we have wandered far from your home again and again. We lose our way. We turn inward, afraid of the world around us. We forget that you have saved your people before and promised to do so again. Do not remember the deeds of our past, but turn our faces toward the future, where your forgiveness is sure, your welcome is clear, and your love overflows. Amen. Like a hen who gathers her chicks, God embraces you in tender care. Like manna in the desert, God feeds you with surprising mercy. Like a loving parent, God runs to meet you again this day, forgiving your sins for the sake of Christ, leading you from death into life. Amen. God of justice, you have shown yourself in this world in the poor, the hungry, and the needy. Make us willing participants of your grace and generosity, so that when you come again, we will know your face. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Our main and gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning in the 31st verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you a clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to the least of one of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison? They did not take care of you." Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now let us please read our psalm responsibly. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Well, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Honestly, this is a pretty great reading. I mean, not perfect. It still has that sort of touch of Matthew in it, right? I mean, no weeping and gnashing of teeth today, but there's definitely some fire. There's some eternal punishment. But for Matthew, it's pretty good, right? I mean, he can definitely have, he loves to give that hard edge to the words of Jesus. But it's also pretty great when you're a pastor and you're sick, because I feel like I don't need to preach this too much, right? You kind of get the point a little bit. Help feed the hungry, clothe those that don't have enough, care for the sick, visit those in prison, give a drink to the thirsty, welcome the stranger. Seems like it's pretty straightforward, pretty bread and butter Christian kind of stuff. In fact, as I've often mentioned in past sermons, for all the hot button issues that we hear on the cable news networks or just in Christian circles, this is pretty much what the Bible spends most of its time talking about. All these other little issues that we get all so upset about and, cause problems at the family dinner table at holidays. This is pretty much what the majority of the Bible, when it talks about things that we are called to do, lines that we are trying to draw, this is what it talks about. Feeding the hungry, caring for the sick. Throw in some widows and orphans in there, and you kind of got it covered. This is the sort of life that Christ calls us to lead, is to help people who need our help. And of course, as Lutherans, we always want to add, you know, that we do not do this to earn God's grace. That is a free gift. But of course, this feeding, clothing, caring, visiting, compassion, welcome, this is exactly the kind of servant love that God hopes to instill in us through this gift of faith, through this gift of Jesus Christ. That when faith is working as intended, this is the sort of thing that is supposed to well up inside all of us. This love, not just for the people that are closest to us, not just the people that might benefit us in some way, but for all people, for all of God's children, for all of creation, even more broadly. Of course, one of the most interesting aspects, or one of the fun twists to this reading, is that, if even though it may not be entirely surprising, is that both groups of people, right, the sort of the sheep, I should be careful picking which side is the sheep and the goats, right? You guys might take it personally. But the sheep and the goats, both of them have no idea what's going on, right? The both of them are asking the Lord, they're asking God this question of, oh, wait, when was it that I helped you out, God? I don't really remember that. Both of them have kind of missed the boat on this whole thing. Which, you know, on one hand makes them both look kind of, well, like a lot of us, right? We just kind of amble through life a little bit. But it also maybe makes those do-gooders, those sheep folk, look a little bit better, right? They're not doing it, they didn't do all this good to earn God's favor, just as I was saying a moment ago, that they just did it because that's who they are as people, I suppose. You know, and we know this in plenty of examples in our world of people that seem to kind of be doing good or do specific good things every now and then, as sort of a handy cover for all the other kind of horrible things they also do, right? That's sort of the downside of charity. Sometimes charity can be a way of covering past or even ongoing misdeeds, you know? Or some people just consider it a worthy price to pay for getting the praise of others, you know, having everybody tell them how awesome they are. I mean, why do you think I became a pastor, right? You know? No, I'm just kidding. That's not definitely not how it goes for pastors all the time, right? You know, for every skip that's always telling me how great I am, you know, there's always those that always need to remind the pastor of where they're falling short too. But I'm not going to point that out. I'm not saying that's any of you, but I'm just saying. Anyway, I got myself down a train that is just, let's just get back on the track here. But yes, we know this is the temptation for us. And it's one that Jesus frequently warns us about, that, you know, and maybe that's the way that sin works in our lives. It is, as much as God tries to set up a clear path of these are the good things to do and these are the bad things to do, as human beings, we're always looking to game the system, you know. It's an unfortunate factor. It's, you know, what makes creating laws such a difficult process, you know, not just divine laws, but just earthly laws as well. You know, for every good thing that you try to accomplish, there's always people trying to find an edge to that. It's not one of the better parts of our human nature, but it's one that certainly seems persistent in sticking around. Of course, you know, you do wonder, on the flip side, does that make it look better for the goats, right? I don't know. You know, the fact that, you know, maybe that would be an excuse they would try to offer is, well, geez, Lord, we didn't know that it was you that we were hurting, you know? I mean, how can you punish us for something we didn't even know we were doing wrong? Well, yeah, okay, maybe, but of course, this is maybe where we remember that this is coming up to Easter again. And in fact, even in Matthew's gospel, this is a passage that's read or that falls in the story of the gospel, not too long before Jesus is arrested and tried and executed. You know, we, all of us, face this issue of, well, okay, you can try to offer this excuse that, well, we didn't see God in this person that we thought really deserved kind of poor treatment. But we see what happens when we fail to see the presence of God and others around us, that we may even bring God himself to the cross.
You know, and it is this challenge that we don't always see perfectly the goodness in other people or see the worthiness in other people. And that's sometimes because people have done things that make that really, make that a fairly logical conclusion. You know, we all are sinners, and some sinners definitely make some bigger mistakes than others. And as human beings, we do have a limited perspective. We don't have some sure 100% way to test people, to know, man, is there really some goodness in this person? Is there really something redeemable in this person? Is there, do they really deserve all of my energy and my time and my effort? You know, we don't have some sort of mammalian divine DNA test that we can judge other people by. That we would know that this is God here walking in my midst, that God is working through this person in some kind of way. It's just not the sort of certainty that we are blessed with in this life. And of course, that should lead us to be careful. It should lead us to be reflective. It should lead us to be humble, to keep our eyes open, right? To be prepared for the unexpected, as much as that's sort of a difficult thing to do. You know, maybe it's not such a bad thing to just be nice to everybody, right? You know, again, this is a pretty easy sermon to preach, right? You know, and especially for those who are struggling, that we don't always get caught up in this game of trying to decide, does this person really deserve my kindness? Because there's lots of times I'm sure that others are kind to us, whether or not we fully deserve it either. And as we've heard before, I think what this passage reminds us is that this life of discipleship that we are called to lead, this life of faith we are called to lead, as I said, I think a couple Sundays ago, that's exactly what it is meant to be. It's a life, right? It's not supposed to be a set of check boxes. It's not supposed to be something that can be easily tested. It's just something we live out, right? We live out this life of faith. It's not about an agreement in our heads. It's not about doing the math all the time. It's just about simply living our lives and letting Christ shape our lives and the example Jesus sets for us. And that doesn't mean that Jesus is totally fine with all the sins of the world. No, that's not it at all. But again, we have to be so careful not to get caught in this notion of who is truly worthy of our kindness, of looking only for the best and the brightest examples of those people that need our help. And it can be a tough transition, right, to wonder, you know, especially as we have our limited resources as human beings. We have limited time. We do have to be careful stewards of the gifts that God has given us. And so it can be a tough sort of transition in our lives to not slide back into this sort of very triage mindset of discipleship, that we have to only show love to those that we feel is worthy of love. You know, we know what it means to kind of, especially people who have hurt us personally, or we who have hurt others in ways that others have hurt us. You know, and we do have to be careful. We do have to set up healthy boundaries at times, but we are called to difficult acts of love at times. You know, we may not always have that the good fortune of having someone obviously in front of us. And of course, that's the other aspect as well, too, that a lot of suffering in our world goes hidden. And sometimes that's because we ourselves want to hide our suffering away from one another, right? Whether it's because we generally don't want to have to burden others with our suffering, or we don't want to seem weak in the eyes of others, or we just are ashamed of our weaknesses, that sometimes we do hide away our suffering, and sometimes suffering gets hidden for other reasons as well. I'm actually going to talk about that a little bit this coming week in my Lenten person that I'm talking about. That, you know, that there are people in our society that do get sort of hidden away and can get obscured by all the mechanisms of our society. And so sometimes we do have to kind of be active searchers for those that need our help. That it's not just a matter of looking around us in the most immediate vicinity and saying, okay, well, who is the neediest among this group of people, when there may be whole other groups of people who definitely need our help, that definitely need a word of hope, that need some food, that need some clothing, that need to be visited and just shown some common compassion for. You know, this life of Christ, it's not always an easy one, but one thing that always does give me a little bit of comfort is that it's relatively uncomplicated. And I think one of the greatest clues of that is that we almost always end our worship service with sort of the best, simplest line of Christian mission, right? How do we always end our services? Go in peace, serve the Lord, right? And there's no, like, asterisk behind that, right? It's not like, okay, except C, you know, subsection clause 4, you know, if this person has done that but not that, you know, it's just go in peace, serve the Lord. And I know our mission and evangelism committee has even talked about emblazoning that on the wall as we exit, so that we always are reminded of that as we go forth, and maybe that'll be one of our projects this summer. But, you know, sometimes the simplest advice is the best. Go in peace, serve the Lord. No exceptions, no asterisks, no other complications than that. The life of faith, it's not always easy, but it's not always that complicated either. So go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Rise as you are able. Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Seeking the grace, mercy, and love of Almighty God, we offer our prayers for the church, for people in need, and for all of creation.
God of resurrection and new life, inspire your church to reconsider what makes us holy. When we focus on our own piety or others' sin, show us Christ's faithfulness. Hear us, O God.
Mercy is great.
Whenever destruction by flood, famine, or fire has devastated land and lives, cause green shoots to spring up, giving hope and vision for your promised future. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Where nations are embroiled in chaos and unrest, cut a clear path for your people to follow. Lead us in ways of reconciliation and foretell the new things you prepare. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Wipe away the tears of those who weep under the burdens of hard labor and despair. Restore them and bring them into the joy of your presence. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Permeate this world with the sweet perfume of Christ's anointing. Fill your people with such gratitude that it spills over into your service of those who are poor or in any need. Hear us, O God.
Good and gracious God, we also remember today those who are near and dear to us, those who may be far away as well. We especially remember in prayer today Ted and Ron, that you may bring healing into their lives and continue to uphold them. We certainly also remember in prayer all those suffering from flooding, both in our own country and in Africa, and in all places where natural disasters may take hold. We also pray for those places where man-made disasters may be active, that you may bring comfort and peace and healing to places ravaged by war or disaster. We also, of course, remember in prayer the family of Francis Berge, whose funeral we honored yesterday here at Bethesda. Be with them in their time of mourning, that they may remember the love that she shared, the love that she was given by you to share with them and to all the world. And now we remember all those others that are in our minds and our hearts, and we lift them to you now, either out loud or in silence. Accompany those, O God, for whom death draws near. Bring us with all your saints to receive the abundance of heavenly glory through the covenant Christ sealed in his death and resurrection. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Reveal your will as you receive our prayers and conform our ways to your ways. Through the saving work of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
Also with you.
Please share a sign of that peace with one another. Let us pray. Generous God, you feed us with the harvest of the Lamb, and you provide for our every need. Receive our gifts of money, imagination, and labor, and transform them into a feast that welcomes all. In Jesus Christ, our host and our guest. Amen. Holy God, our living water and our merciful guide, together with rivers and seas, wells and springs, we bless and magnify you. You led your people Israel through the desert, and you provide them water from the rock. We praise you for Christ, our rock and our water, who joined us in our desert, pouring out his life for the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life, death, and resurrection, we await your salvation for all this thirsty world. Pour out your Spirit on this holy food and on all the baptized gathered for this feast. Wash away our sin, that we may be revived for our journey by the love of Christ. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Church, Holy Spirit, in your Holy Church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come to the table. Feast on God's abundant life for you. All are welcome. Let us pray. Tender and merciful one, at your feast you fed us who brought nothing, turning our emptiness into joy. Filled with your abundant grace, send us now to be ministers of reconciliation, mending broken hearts, working for justice, and striving for peace among all people. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. God, who fills creation with abundance, Christ, who spreads his arms in forgiveness, Holy Spirit, who draws ever near to us, bless you and bring you to life everlasting. Amen. And our closing song is another Dakota Road song, "Lord of Justice." Should be in your bulletin.
Captives, may we give freedom to the tortured, release from all the hurt. Lord of justice, Lord of life, help us to do what you know is right. Oh, Lord of justice, Lord of life, guide us through the day. Lord of justice, Lord of life, help us to do what you know is right. Oh, Lord of justice, Lord of life.